This podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man.
Boy!
Hey, let's talk about you. The ID10T community events at ID10T.com, like Russ Stevens, a.k.a. Cool Movies Darth, who has started a podcast called 90 for Chill, which Russ says is dedicated to movies with a runtime between 74 and 99 minutes, the time frame that I feel is ideal. Russ, I could not agree with you more. That is a fantastic idea. Russ goes on to say, there are times you need a cinematic fix but don't have time for the latest Scorsese masterpiece or offering from a comic book universe. There's also times when you know you need a conclusion to prevent a binge costing you a whole night. My guests and I try to follow these guidelines as we chat up features that are definitely worth your time and are beyond easy to make time for. 90 for Chill, the podcast, can be found on all major podcast platforms at 94chill.com, and that's spelling out 90, N-I-N-E-T-Y, 4-F-O-R, chill. So there you go. Thank you so much for sharing, Russ. Really great idea for a podcast. Events at ID10T.com for everyone else.
Previously on 90 for Chill, the podcast.
On this island, in this building, through this door, down this hallway, lies the most frightening experience of your life. Prepare yourself for They Came From Within. If you think you're not afraid of the dark, if you think you have a strong stomach, if you feel nothing can shock you, if you believe you've seen everything, if you say you don't scare easily, what are they? Raging demons that must be exorcised, bloodthirsty creatures that must be killed, or incarnations of absolute evil. They came from within. They possess men, women, and children, and drive them to acts of unbelievable horror. No one is safe from them. No power on earth can stop them. The only escape is death. They came from within. If this picture doesn't make you scream and squirm, you'd better see a psychiatrist. Quick. Rated R.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
And I've just revisited Shivers from 1975, directed by David Cronenberg. His first foray into body horror. And with the recent movies I've been watching for next week's episode, this definitely fits in. It's kind of like, we're going to do the sadness on the next episode of 90 for Chill, the podcast. And this is basically probably the inspiration, I would say, for the film. I mean, of course, you have the COVID outbreak, which is the main thing about the sadness. But it's really about just losing all your inhibitions. Now, fortunately, the Shivers, I should say, is far nicer. It is solely about a mad scientist basically creating a aphrodisiac / venereal parasite that makes everybody horny about everything. So, the violence isn't there, which is nice. I mean, there's plenty of violence. You know, you don't want to get raped. You're going to use a crowbar or a gun or a car. I mean, some clever violence, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it. I mean, the acting is what it is for the 1970s, low budget, an English-speaking film shot in Montreal. And, but there's just a lot of themes I like about it. Like, well, it's kind of appropriate that the rich people have to deal with a virus on an isolated island. And then just, you know, at least without the thought of being devoured alive, you know, do you just want to give in to the virus, or the parasite in this case? So a lot of fun elements to be had with this feature. I used to say it's very early Cronenberg, so the direction is kind of a work in progress, but you can see that he's definitely got an eye for what he wants to shoot. And as I say, it's just a very radical idea. So it's not like Rabid were. So basically, I guess you would say the sadness is Rabid plus Shivers. So, but you know, it's a little more optimistic, I guess, because, again, hey, the worst thing that you do is get laid. Now, you might not want it, but, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a Republican fantasy, I suppose. Well, they wouldn't want to be the ones being raped, which is kind of the Democratic fantasy. So, still pretty timely picture then. So, I'd say if you're gonna need something to just give you a little bit of hope after watching a really intense and violent feature like The Sadness, Shivers is the right palate cleanser. So, actually, I've got a better palate cleanser, and it's going to be discussed on this little mini episode of 90 for Chill the Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Oh, I just want to bring up that this feature was originally supposed to really get further discussion in a podcast I did with the Poetic Critic, which was, I mean, way back when the podcast started. So it was the idea was that we were going to talk about movies pre-1975 because of Film Twitter versus the MCU. That episode is basically about how there's so many people who won't watch movies now from 1975, before 1975, because of the themes, the negativity, that, you know, very white male perspective of the future. So the Poetic Critic and I went and addressed that. So if you want to listen to that episode, it is Gen X and Scorsese versus Millennials and Gen Z, or I should say Millennials and the MCU. So I'm sure if you throw those terms in there or just do a bunch of scrolling, you'll find that episode. Thanks.
We never thought it would happen.
Nobody gets in or out of their town now, is that clear?
The girl just died.
How do you intend to let the people know about all this?
We were asleep. Well, they dragged us right out of the house.
Are we under martial law?
Don't talk to me or anybody else unless you got a voice print check.
All hell's broke loose in town. Nobody knows what's going on.
Now look, you just can't push us around this way.
We've got to get a nuclear weapon in the air above that town.
I taken me no choice.
They started something they can't stop. The crazy. Something that inflames. Something that brutalizes. It's madness unleashed by human error. The crazy. Can they tame it before time runs out?
I'm a key man on the Christie's team.
A key man? I'm one of the developers of the goddamn thing.
Now, if you want me to get the job done, you get me the stuff I need, and you get it the hell out of here before the morning's over.
A small town becomes a giant stockade. Heaven City must be contained or leveled.
We're all concerned with Heaven City, Mr. Hawks.
If we have to push the button, we just say the weapon went off.
Get me the president.
...3,614 people are trapped by an unknown enemy. Five are on the run. Can they escape the spreading fury of the crazies?
We can make it. I know it.
David! David! They're coming, David! David, they're coming.
Move. We gotta get out of here.
Jesus, man.
And I want a weapon search for the entire town.
Watch it, Bucky!
Exactly the kind of thing we're trying to prevent.
And I've just concluded watching The Crazies from 1973, a George A. Romero film, which doesn't actually call itself The Crazies. It's codenamed Trixie, but I digress. And, you know, it had a remake, I believe, in 2007, which, you know, after Zack Snyder's misguided Dawn of the Dead remake, just missing all the subtleties and the political messages that Romero was known for with his zombie movies. I just didn't want to even think of that film until I watched the original. And this is a very raw movie. There's a lot of times where you have just shoddy cinematography, I guess. A lot of early on, you can't tell if they're trying to do day for night shots. But otherwise, I mean, the camera's held pretty steady. The action is easy to follow. So it's about a town in western Pennsylvania, which they shoot very well. I'll even give them that. Romero knew what to do for his hometown. That has been infected with a bioweapon that crashed into and leaked into their reservoir. So everybody is either going crazy or are fed up with the fact that there's a quarantine. And if anything, I think this is a very much a we can't have the Second Amendment question, because you have, yeah, your crazy peoples who are shooting at the military, and then you have just the idiots who think, you know, it's not plausible that somebody knows more than them, because if they did, they'd have a gun. So I do appreciate that element of it. The characters are pretty... I mean, the main characters, so we have five people run... So you have, of course, the military, and then you have five people, two Vietnam vets, just trying to with a handful of escapees, make it out of town. And I'll give Romero this. At least this ending isn't as depressing. I mean, it's pretty downer. And then you get some imagery to illustrate the craziness that is definitely going to upset a lot of people. I think it's well done. I think it's kind of... with this binge I've been on, with the sadness and mayhem, the point is I want to watch movies about just viral craziness, not zombies per se. So it delivers, and it's pretty subtle. It's not a very graphic movie, but the gore that they do have is well done. I don't know if it's a early Tom Savini film or not, but I mean, brilliant contrast to having all your soldiers in the biodegradable white outfits and getting shot at. So I mean, there's a lot to appreciate about this film. It's, again, as I say, it's still kind of a downer, and it doesn't have the intensity, I think, of when you go back to Night of the Dead or any of the Dead movies. So it kind of runs long, and technically it shouldn't even be on a 90 for chill, but it's, it's... uses every minute that it has. There's nothing wasted. I'll give that film that. It's just a very... I guess emotionally intense movie. Which, it feels weird because there's not really that... you know, we don't really have any fine actors in this movie. This is still early Romero, so... but no, it makes you think, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And again, it's like, I mean, dare I say, who are the real crazies? The people who just presume that the government's just working against them, or people who are actually crazy via disease? It's just an interesting commentary, which is what I think you really want out of the best Romero movies.
We're witnessing a model citizen here, transformed into a brutal, bloodthirsty,
killing machine!
Welcome to the home of Towers and Smythe Consulting. TSC is a firm fueled by greed, duplicity, and moral decay.
I'm gonna need some scouts!
What the hell are you doing?
Firing you.
I'm not leaving this building until I plead my case.
Sure. Good luck with that.
What the hell is going on?
Say hello to the ID70 virus. stress hormone levels rise, causing inhibitions to drop and basic instincts to rise to the surface.
All traces of the virus should be eliminated in approximately 8 hours.
What are we supposed to do for the next 8 hours?
Try to remain calm.
Hey, extreme measures, right?
This is our shot.
I'm offering 150 grand for Cho's head.
We're talking about murder here. You should be offering at least 450.
Him?
Yup.
You want to do this the hard way? You're enjoying this, aren't you?
I just kicked his ass!
So I've just concluded watching Mayhem from 2017, starring Steven Yeun and Samara Weaving, a very popular face on 90 for Chill, the podcast. We're talking about Bill and Ted's Face the Music and Your Next, not sorry, not Your Next, Ready or Not. So maybe someday we'll finish a trilogy about her movies with at Gentle Them E. So, at Gentle Them Evil. So, I digress with all that. So, it's a, this reminds me, because it came out the same time as, James Gunn's penned the Belko experiment. And I think this is the one that just seemed a little too niche, I suppose. I mean, it's definitely has a lower production value feel, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing. This is pretty straightforward. So, with the Belko experiment being about just a sinister government trying to see what people will do to each other, this one's a little kinder with basically providing us a virus that takes away all your moral compasses, amplifies your id. So, basically, you're not going to... You're just going to do whatever you feel like doing, and it's not going to be of any consequence. Or at least that's how the law looks at it, and that's thanks to the Derek character, played by Steven Yeun. And so, basically, he gets... The plot is he gets fired... He's going to get fired from his job based on somebody making some bad decisions on a... corporate account. This is a law firm, and basically somebody's going to have to fall, and hey, being the bit from the banking industry, I know how this one goes. But when this happens, the building, the law firm is blocked down in a quarantine to eliminate the virus, and they have means of destroying it within 8 hours just by putting it in the air. The antiviral. So, but for 8 hours, you can do whatever you want, and Steven Yeun is going for revenge and finds an unlikely partner in Samara Weaving, a girl who's just trying to save her house from being foreclosed. She just happens to be a fan of, say, bands like Mayhem and classic Anthrax, Motorhead, what have you. So, they get. After escaping a storeroom, they basically go after everybody in the corporate structure who is going to stand up for the oppression of the little man, be it with nail guns, table saws. So that's your plot, and it's a lot of fun, especially for communists and myself. Like, yeah, just tear it all down if you're going to be crappy. That's the only problem with capitalism. It allows people to be crappy. No, it celebrates people being crappy. I mean, yes, all major forms of communism have crappy people at the head, but that's the concept is that you're not awarded for being crappy. So, I don't know. Long goes there. So, Joe Lynch is a This is another one of those directors, say, like a John Carpenter or Kevin Smith, where he knows how to shoot what he wants and capture everything. So it's, and thankfully, close and closed spaces allows him to not need a lot of camera movement. So we're not going to get anything like a hallway fight, say, from Daredevil or from Old Boy, the original. But they make up for that with pretty much all the violence being hilarious in some form. And that's the entire thing, like, which is a disappointment of the Belko experiment, is, like, this is James Gunn. This is the guy who got his start in Troma, and this is the guy who does the Guardians of the Galaxy movies or Slither, where, yeah, you can laugh along with the carnage the entire way, and you're encouraged to, except for that movie. And this one is basically what you'd expect from a James Gunn joint. So, it's not, the acting is, the acting's fun, but it's not really stressing anybody's capabilities. It's just basically act insane. So, if anything, this is why I don't appreciate the Joker's portrayal by Heath Ledger. It's like, no, you're just one note. And sorry, that character's beyond one note. So, okay, so we've tracked The Dark Knight. We've gone and tried to correct James Gunn's mistakes. So, I mean, as so it's like, it's just a fun movie, but it's not anything, I guess I would say, I guess I wouldn't say it's high-end art, but it's definitely worth a watch if you're into just, if you're a fan of splatstick or slashstick, however you call the violence that Evil Dead encourages you to cheer on.
Can I hear a wahoo?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode of 90 for Chill, the podcast, and I'm just back on to, one, pay dedication to my inspiration for everything I do in terms of trying to be successful, which is Stacia Harden. I hope she's doing all right up there in heaven and still helping all of those who she touched in her life. But also, I kind of caught on as doing some research on Mayhem recently, that it was directed by Joe Lynch, and I have watched another Joe Lynch movie. I've actually watched a few. I find him to be pretty amazing. Chilly, well, amazing might be a little much, but fun. Lots of fun. Chillerama is an interesting horror anthology that gets a little too crazy for its own good, but it's, he also directed the Henry Rollins starring feature. I guess he's third billed, but it's Henry frickin' Rollins. Wrong Turn 2, Dead End. So, it just speaks to what kind of movie he likes to make. If you've got, well, man, like, those cannibals kind of make the Mayhem and Mayhem look bad. I mean, looks cowardly, sissy, what have you. So, with all that said, though, we did discuss that movie on the Henry Rollins episode. I believe Henry Never Died would be a good way to search for it, with Kodiak Thompson. So, again, try searching Henry Never Died or do a bunch of scrolling. And thanks for coming to 90 for Chill, the podcast.
Long live Flash! You've saved your Earth! Have a nice day!